much of our life experience is the result of our individual selection and determination. Human accomplishment is personal, and we base our decisions on our view of life, our goals, and our expectations. When we attempt to explain ourselves, we sometimes get lost in the limitation and restriction of language, not able to put into words what we claim as our purpose and our potential. Therefore, oftentimes, we find us relying on established patterns of definition. For instance, in describing what we consider the life worth living, we apply the word success. We all know what that word means, if for no other reason, then we are also familiar with the less desirable experience called failure. Sometimes, in discovering what something is, it is helpful to learn what it is not. Studying the nature of what constitutes the contrasts of life adds clarity and definition. Still, the interpretation is a personal one. Nona Brooks, the co-founder of Divine Science, gave us her understanding concerning the successful life in her book called Mysteries. She said that achievement and attainment are synonymous of success. The question is, what phase of life universal must we succeed in order to be thought of as a success? You see, sometimes we come across a successful individual, and yet we pass them by without a nod of recognition. We do this because they have no visible accumulation of material possessions or personal attainment, which would distinguish them in the eyes of the world. Their appearance simply does not meet the world's criteria defining success. Therefore, let us learn to recognize success. When we find true success, we see it in the lives that are lived with highest purpose. Miss Brooks went on to say that man, because he is a child of God, is by nature a success. To live a life from the standpoint of high purpose takes us out of the realm of the human way of amassing, achieving, and chasing after material attainment. High purpose indicates a deeper experience, one that challenges the approach of verbal explanation. Now, I admit, it seems to be a bit of a challenge to live with highest purpose. However, Miss Brooks insists it is normal for us to do so. Nevertheless, regardless of how we personally define, measure, or analyze success, we want it. To accomplish this goal, we admit that, at least at first, we are willing to claim it wherever we can find it. Therefore, there will be those times when we search in the outer, while at other times we will seek in that inner realm of high purpose. After many of us have been in metaphysics for a number of years, and even those of us who are familiar with the laws of mind, or what we call New Thought teachings, we begin to reevaluate what has been taking place within ourselves. We soon realize that one of the most difficult truths for us to accept is that nothing ever happens unless it is first set in motion within ourselves. A personal belief, a strong conviction, attitude, or opinion. Now, all of these qualities, which are activities of the mind, is what we call consciousness. It is easy to identify the patterns, the streams of thought, that come into our mind day by day, moment by moment. This establishes us as very different from other people. That is why it is possible for two people living in the same house for 20, 30, 40 years, that one can be living in a sense of heaven and the other one in hell. These are simply two contrasting states of consciousness. For one, everything seems to go right in their life, and for the other, not so much. It has nothing to do with the food they eat or with the church they attend. Rather, it has everything to do with what takes place within their own minds. The truly successful individual learns to take responsibility for what they invite into and entertain in their consciousness. Failure to acknowledge personal accountability means that we simply are not honest with ourselves, delaying the heavenly riches promised to the one who follows the way of the high purpose. Our Bible reminds us, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, this secret place, it is not some high mountain or secluded temple, nor is it hidden away in a remote jungle. Rather, it is a stratum of consciousness, one that has never been touched, even by the highest and finest of human thought. It is so pure, it has no knowledge of the human picture. And it is when we stop trying to make things happen out here in the world for ourselves or for someone else that we slowly find ourselves lifted up so gently into a realm described as pure peace. It is an awareness, and it is here that we find ourselves standing in the presence of answered prayer. And instantly, we set in motion the law, as within, so without, as in mind, so in manifestation. Dr. Salazar told us about a play that he saw called Hook, which was actually the story of Peter Pan. His emphasis was on the character called Tinkerbell. Now, he described her as a delightful little light, a fairy, which symbolizes everything good that comes into our lives. He told us that Tinkerbell represents our health and our supply. She represents our protection, our companionship, the harmony in our relationships. In other words, she represents success in every phase and facet of our lives. We all need a Tinkerbell. Dr. Salazar remembers a dramatic point in the play where Tinkerbell's light begins to dim and she appears to be dying. He tells us that Tinkerbell is dying because there are people who do not believe in the reality of good in their lives. At this point in the play, Wendy steps forward, and she asks the audience to believe. She asks the audience to show their belief in the power of success and good by applauding. And of course, the audience always responds by applauding. And the more they applauded, the more Tinkerbell begins to respond, and eventually she is revived and restored. Now, there are many of us who approach life with a dream. There are those who, as far back as they can remember, have had a dream, a goal, or an expectancy in their lives. This is the Tinkerbell in our lives, the expectancy of good in our lives. And what is this expectancy? What is this Tinkerbell? Everything that we call a personal experience begins as a thought in someone's mind. And remember, the law that translates from mind into manifestation is this: as within, so without. As in mind, so in manifestation. Now, as students of metaphysics, we need to remember there are always two sides to life: the inner and the outer, the invisible and the visible. This that we are living at this moment is the process side of life. This is the visible side of life. This is not the finished product. This is merely the coming into visibility of that which is invisible. Henry Ward Beecher once wrote, "We should live and labor in our times that what comes to us as a seed may go to the next generation as blossoms. And what came to us as blossoms may go to others as harvest." He talks about the process side of life, a beginning, a middle, and an end. So the question for us is, what is our responsibility in the process of translating the invisible into visibility? This is a good question. It seems that every time we meet a deadline, another one comes about. We may put one fire out, lo and behold, here comes another, demanding our attention. How do we approach this fluctuation of experience? What is our responsibility? Every problem that appears in our lives is merely another opportunity for us to discover that all things are possible when we discover the law that indwells each one of us. Now, this law is not something that is separate and apart from us, but is written into the very nature of our being. There is not a thing that you and I can do to separate ourselves from this law. When Jesus said, "The Father and I are one," not only was he declaring a truth, but a fact based on his knowledge and his use of the law. Now, in truth, you and I are spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe, subject only to the laws of the spirit of life. Nevertheless, in fact, you and I are mental beings living in a mental universe, subject to the laws of mind. We are talking about the correct uses of these two words. There are things that are in truth, and there are things that are in fact. At this point, we may ask the question, why are we mental beings? We are mental beings because this is the process side of life. We are not the finished product, but in process. It is the spiritual man, the one created in the image and likeness of God, which is the finished product. We are the prodigal children, separate and apart from the Father's house. In truth, we are in the Father's house, but in fact, we are not. The universe in which we find ourselves this morning is one, both invisible and visible. In addition, what we call the natural order of this world is merely a representation of the order that is taking place in the invisible realm of our own minds. Now, Jesus based his entire teaching on the truth that what we see in nature is the physical evidence of the outpicturing of the law, that is, the outpicturing of the work of the Father within. The word Father in the New Testament, or the phrase the Lord God in the midst of us, symbolizes the law of good in you and in me. Really, they symbolize that Tinkerbell in all of us. It is this law, the Father within, this Lord God in the midst of us, which is saying to you and to me, in such an intimate way, I will be with you according to your heart, according to your belief. In that little story, Tinkerbell's light shone bright because the people believed. Your good will come about because you believe. What do you believe, and where do you place your trust? Your response should be that you believe in the good that dwells in you, and that you trust the law that put it in place. Jesus said that the Father, meaning the law of our good, was never absent from his creation, but present in all things. He pointed to the birds, and he reminded his followers that the same Father, the same law, they mean the same thing. The one that provides for the birds is in you and in me. He encouraged his followers to believe in the law, to believe in the Father within, and to stop worrying about food and shelter and clothing. He would say it this way, "Take no thought for what ye shall eat, drink, or wherewithal ye shall be clothed, for the Father within knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." Again, the question is, what is your belief? What is your state of consciousness? Unfortunately, many of us do not believe this. The process side of life, well, it gets in the way. And our certainty is not high enough to trust the light that shines in us. Therefore, we find us doing one of two things. We sit down on our knees, close our eyes, put our hands together, and we say, "Dear God, please give me," you fill in the blank. On the other hand, we go around imaging or picturing all sorts of things, telling this omniscient being what he does not already know. So we have to image it or picture it to make it so. This is where divine science, or a spiritual approach to life, differs from a mental science or a mental approach to life. Even though Jesus' followers called him a rabbi, he was never a licensed or accredited priest. And instead of teaching daily in the synagogues or the temples, his pulpit was the marketplace. His pulpit was the highways and the byways. And when he wanted examples for his lessons, he merely turned to the natural things of this world. He also called the law his Father within that doeth the work. He defined the whole process as an inner rather than an outer activity, one that takes place out here in the world. He referred to the working of the law, or how the law works, in this way. He likened it to a sower who sows in the fields. In addition, he compared it to a hidden treasure, or to a pearl of great price. And you will notice that everything he compared it with, everything was a law, and this law was in an invisible realm, yet attainable, a hidden pearl, the seed in the ground, a hidden treasure, all hidden, all invisible. Yet it is this that causes the thing that we call personal experience. For example, the law of growth acts invisibly to produce a visible form. We all see a thing growing, but we do not see the power that makes the thing grow. In the very same way, we all see men, women, and children, but we do not see the activity of their mind. We never see their beliefs, nor their convictions, or their attitudes. We never see the activity within their minds that makes them do certain things, say certain things in a certain way, or live in a particular way. All we see is the outer form, never that law that brings the form into visibility, which means that consciousness is causation and personal experiences are effect. The purpose of the successful life is to be one with this inner activity that lives us and moves us, to be consciously one with the presence that indwells the soul of every man and of every woman. Our role is to allow the Lord, the law, to do its work. It created us, and it knows just what to do. This morning, let us turn within and only believe. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. Come on to me, and you will find me. Enter into my presence, and I will give you peace. God freely gives his infinite blessings of harmony, love, and fulfillment to all humanity. However, we must enter his kingdom to receive them. The kingdom of heaven is within our being. It is our spiritual home. The instruction is, leave all and follow me. Leave the world of distraction and temptation. Release everything that stands between you and your realization of me. I fill all time and space. Every good thing comes from on high. Lifted consciousness is the way of the high purpose, the high calling. Let us choose this day the way of spirit, willing to have spirit lead us. The successful, abundant life is the one led by spirit. Come on to me and you will find you right where you are supposed to be, doing my work, being about my business. Let this be our personal act of surrender. Speak, Lord, I am listening. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise Him for word and former is. Praise Him, all ye His truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto His name.
And have a blessed week.